This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm excited today to talk with Terry Bauer about the subject of concierge medicine, which has grown rapidly over the last several years, and talk about a number of issues related to it. Terry, can you take a moment and introduce yourself, and then we'll ask you a number of questions.
Certainly, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you, Scott. I'm a CEO of Special Docs Consultants. I've been in this role for about 4 years. I have been in the healthcare industry going back a long time, back to 1980, right out of college, and I've been in just about every sector of healthcare, with the exception of pharma. So medical supplies early on in my career, medical devices, high-tech home infusion therapy, physician practice management, healthcare IT, revenue cycle, and got involved actually in concierge medicine as a student of it back when it was first introduced in 1999, and have watched the industry grow and evolve for the last 20 years.
Well, fantastic. And how did you decide to start focusing the great majority of your professional efforts around concierge medicine? How did you get going in it personally?
Well, I was running another company that I sold. I sold it in 2013. And I just looked at the landscape in healthcare, and I saw that reimbursement was not going to go up anymore, that physicians were burning out at record levels, hospitals were attempting to employ doctors, and even those doctors became unhappy. And I said, there's got to be a solution somewhere. And I also saw the other side of it from the patient's perspective, that they had to sometimes wait weeks, if not months, to get appointments with doctors. And when they would go into the doctor's office, they'd have to wait for 20, 30, 40 minutes. They'd go in the exam room, and the exam would be 8 to 12 minutes. And there was just a lot of frustration. And as I studied the industry and watched the industry, I saw that this is a solution for a big problem.
And two questions. Is concierge medicine, is it only for the very affluent or wealthy? And second, is it only for primary care? Are there any kinds of specialties under concierge medicine as well?
Those are two great questions, and there's a misnomer that concierge medicine is only for the affluent. If you look across the country, the average annual membership fee that most concierge or membership medicine practice charge is approximately $2,000, which equates to about $166 a month, which if you get a Starbucks grande latte every day, it's about the cost of that. It's a cost of people's cable bill or their cell phone bill or a nice dinner out. And so, sure, there are companies that charge $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a year. But as I said, the average runs around $2,000. So no, it's not just for the affluent. In fact, the tens of thousands of patients that our clients have as members include school teachers, include nurses, include, you know, blue-collar workers, middle-class folks, people who really care about their health and decide that's where they want to make an investment. As far as the second part of your question relative to other specialties, yes. So we have doctors who are cardiologists that are also concierge. We have doctors that are endocrinologists. We're working with our first OBGYN. In fact, we're going to launch that practice in the next few months. We're talking to a neurologist about this, some gastroenterologists. Anywhere where there's an ongoing, continuous relationship, the physicians and patients seem to have an interest.
Fascinating. And as I look at the world going forward, you talked about burnout. We talked about shortages. There are likely to be, and particularly in specialties and in primary care, tremendous shortages. Will it move to the spot where to have access to your physician? Is there any tipping point where concierge medicine will become so important for access that more and more people will do it?
You know, access, as you know, Scott, being a healthcare lawyer and expert, is not the best word to use when you talk about concierge medicine. We like to use the term availability, because that's a Medicare terminology. But what I will say is, and this is interesting, it came up in another recent interview I had with a national newspaper, where the reporter asked me about availability and primary care and those shortages. And one of the things that came up through the dialogue was that patients and spouses of primary care doctors who are concierge doctors really want this to be promoted to more doctors, particularly those in medical school and those who are going out and choosing a subspecialty. Because as you look at doctors in medical school, they want to go into dermatology, they want to go into radiology, they want to go into anesthesiology because they're thought of as being able to make more money and not having these crazy hours. And a lot of the younger doctors don't look at primary care as an alternative. And if they did, if they knew about this kind of a model, there might be more of a, I guess, a pipeline for new doctors going into primary care.
Well, fantastic. And then what percentage of doctors today, it might be 800,000 doctors in the country, 900,000 doctors in the country in total, what percentage of doctors are in concierge medicine of some sort at this point?
Well, let's look at it under the broad category of membership medicine. So that would include doctors who are concierge and also those who are direct primary care. And let me draw a distinction between the two. And this is my definition, not necessarily everybody's. But in a concierge practice, the doctor charges the patient a membership fee, and they normally take insurance reimbursement. In a direct primary care practice, or a direct pay practice, the doctors charge a membership fee, but they take no insurance. So if we couple those together, the best statistics that I've seen, and that they're probably maybe 60 days old, is that there's approximately between 12 and 15,000 doctors in the U.S. in some kind of a membership practice. And you're right, there's probably close to 1 million doctors in the country. There's about 250,000 who are under that label of primary care. And as you know, Scott, about half of those now are employed with hospitals or health systems. So even if you cut all those slices down, it's still a very small percentage of doctors who are in that membership model.
Right. So what you look at in terms of a membership model of some sort, there's 250,000 primary care physicians and 12,000 to 15,000 largely is the concierge universe. And those are largely primary care doctors. You're talking about maybe 4% of primary care physicians are in a concierge or membership model. And do you expect that to grow a great deal? What's happening on growth there? Is growth slowing? At one time, it seemed like this was all the new rage, and everybody had a primary care doctor, the primary care doctor coming to them and saying they're moving into concierge or membership medicine. And then it seemed to sort of taper off a little bit. What is the growth of it?
I would say if you look at all the different companies and all the statistics that are reported, I would say in the aggregate, you're probably seeing somewhere between 10 and 15% growth on an annual basis. We are growing as an organization much faster than that, but some people are not growing quite as fast. So I would say on a consistent basis, you're seeing, let's call it between 15 and 20% growth annually. And I think it's going to accelerate, frankly, because I think everybody who's in healthcare, I think, has come to the realization that reimbursement is not going up. I think that's a universal truth. Also, a universal truth, and in a medical practice, every year costs go up. So the staff wants a raise, the landlord wants a raise, the utility company wants a raise, the supply company wants a raise. So the only way the doctor can make ends meet year to year is to see more patients. And then that just exacerbates a problem because it becomes that hamster wheel that they're going on faster and faster and faster and faster. And that's when you have all this issue of burnout, or as I think it was JAMA labeled it, moral injury, which I happen to think is a better term for physician-related burnout is moral injury. And candidly, because the doctors get to that point where they say, I just can't do a good job anymore because I have so much pressure to see more patients so I can make ends meet.
Fascinating. And then as sort of a follow-up question to that, what does the typical model look like? Is that $2,000 a year number, then the physician bills insurance for actual direct health care as opposed to the navigation of health care and the accessibility part? What does it look like, a typical concierge deal look like? And I know there's a wide variance, but what does a typical membership or concierge medicine deal look like?
I would say typical is a patient panel of somewhere between 300 to 500 paying members. Those paying members are paying around $2,000 a year. I would say the range Throwing out the highs and the lows is probably 1,800 to 2,200. I would say that those doctors, I'm going to say the majority, let's call it 70-80%, also do bill insurance. So they are in network and they're also in Medicare, which candidly we advise to our clients, because when somebody pays into Medicare for 40 years, they want to be able to use it when they get to the ripe old age of 65. And also people who pay their annual or monthly health premiums to the insurance company, they want to be able to use that. So that would define a typical practice.
Another question on that is concierge medicine. You always hear it in the big cities, the expensive cities. Is it more prevalent in like Manhattan than anyplace else? Some sense of that, of where geographically and area-wise, it's more and less popular, if there's a sense of that.
There is. And, you know, in areas where it's highly populated, in areas where there's maybe more of a shortage of doctors, in areas where there's a high demand for physician services, you would see it. So talk about the Los Angeles, Orange County metropolitan area, the Bay Area, Denver, Houston, Chicago, Atlanta, South Florida, Washington, D.C. metro area, Boston, outside of New York. It's interesting. In New York City itself, or New York itself, it's not as prevalent. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that reimbursement rates are so low for just traditional insurance that a lot of doctors have just completely opted out of all insurance, and they are all direct pay. So they just may charge, I wouldn't call it a membership fee, but they charge almost fee for service to their patients, but they don't take insurance. So, and I think that all, and again, I won't bore you with the rabbit hole of why that evolved, but some of the lowest reimbursement rates from insurance companies are in New York and New Jersey.
Fascinating. Fascinating. What a fascinating subject. And Terry, just one more question. The future of concierge medicine, what's the future of this? Is this two more thoughts on there, a couple more thoughts on that?
I would say the future is extremely bright. As our population, number one, ages, that's one part of it. I think also the population is becoming much more intent on prevention and health and wellness. And that's one of the things our doctors can do, or concierge doctors can do in general, is they're no longer just focused on treating the illness. They can focus on health and wellness and prevention, which as we have, I think, what is it, upwards of 50% of the Fortune 500 just offer their patients a high, or their employees, a high deductible health plan. So, you know, first dollar coverage comes out of that person's pocket. And they want care with somebody who they want to have a relationship with, who they trust, who they can see the same day or the next day, and who really cares about their health and well-being, as opposed to a transactional thing where they see somebody, they give them a script for antibiotics, and they never see them again.
No, fantastic. And I think so true. So many of the challenges in healthcare today is this evolution towards, you know, not having this deep relationship with your physician that you really cherish, particularly as you're worried more about long-term healthcare versus transactional. The kid has a goal type of care. So thank
right.
you. So much. But Terry, how do people learn more about your company? How do they reach you or learn more about you?
I would say the best resource is to go to our website. That's specialdocs.com, specialdocs.com. It's always evolving. There's lots of patient information, physician information, videos, educational information, and just general healthcare information. So we have a lot of data there, a lot of publications, things that we're always adding to educate the population about what we do and also what's happening in the industry.
Terry, thank you so much for joining us today. I got a great education on concierge medicine and what's going on with it. I will now refer to concierge or membership medicine, but also just got a great feel for the percentage of doctors involved in it, where it's evolving to, and so forth. So thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you.